First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I always begin talking about my school and what I've learned. I feel like it's a progress report. But our last project that we have this online discussion of doctors and how we should be perceived by the public and how we should help the public, patients and the sick people. And our last discussion online was how do we get patients to comply with what we tell them. That's to say, how do doctors, what can doctors do to make patients listen to us? And I feel like it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, you could be a teacher, you could be a parent, you're always trying to find a way to make the people under you to listen to you. So parents, usually I found that for myself, parents used to award me if I do good, and they should punish me if I do bad. But ultimately, the decision was mine. I was going to take the award and be good, or I was going to take punishment and be bad. The choice was mine. But for my discussion, we had to talk about diseases in general, like diabetes and hypertension, high blood pressure, and we want patients to take their medication, because if they don't, then the end effects is bad. For example, hypertension or high blood pressure, if you don't take your medicine and comply with what the doctor tells you, if you don't exercise and eat right, then you could get a heart attack, you could have a stroke, you could have vision problems. So it's very hard to tell patients about these things, and yet they still don't understand. In the discussion, some said, oh, why don't we, as doctors, show compassion for our patients? Why don't we show that we care about them and let them know that we still want you to be around for your family, we want you to be around for yourself, do these things, and get them to listen that way. Others said, why don't we scare them? Why don't we tell them about all these bad things that's going to happen to them if they don't listen to us, if they don't take their medicine? And he brought up the example of that, for driver's ed, we watched that video about accidents, and I don't remember watching it myself. But ultimately, whether we scare them or whether we care about them, the choice is theirs to make. I've been having this back problem, and my mom tells me to go to the doctor, and she cares for me. And I know it hurts, but it was my decision to whether go or not, and yet I still have not made a decision to go to the doctor. But just like Solomon, those who are not saved today, the choice is yours to make. Either you seek our Lord Jesus Christ or you forsake him. You see, God, he already made his decision. He decided already from even the creation of this world. God knew that sin was going to enter. He knew that Adam and Eve was going to disobey God. And from Adam and Eve, everyone born would be a sinner. God knew all that stuff. He knew that we weren't going to obey him. He knew that we were going to be sinners. He even knew that he was going to despise us. He was going to despise sin. He was going to just the concept of sin, he was not going to like. And this was all done before the foundation of this world. But he also decided at that same moment that I know I'm going to send my son for these people. He knew that he was going to love us so much, his own creation, that he was going to send his son on our behalf. And we read of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world and saying that I come for those who are not saved. He said, I come not to call on the righteous, but to sinners to come and repent. Even our Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was going to lay down his life to save ours. God, if you think of him as a physician or a doctor, he showed that he cared by sacrificing his son for us. That's how he showed that he cared. And the son, our Lord Jesus Christ, showed that he cared for us by going to the cross, fulfilling the work of redemption on our behalf, listening to his father, and carrying that cross to Mount Calvary. He showed that he cared because no matter how much beatings he took, no matter how many hairs they plucked from his chin, that he did not say one word. He stayed on that cross for us, and he didn't come down when he had any chance that he had to, or he had. He showed that he cared by finishing the work of redemption and by paying the price of sin so that we didn't have to ourselves. When I was growing up, my parents made me work at the restaurant as a cashier. And I don't know how old I was, but I was fairly young, maybe 10. And I learned how hard you had to work for money, for a day's living. And one day, it was really busy, and I had to go help the busboy. And I really learned how hard it was to make money for one day. But every time I wanted something, my dad would always say to me, "Do you know how many cups of soup we have to sell to get that money?" And I hated when he said that to me because, obviously, you had to work a lot. So one day I told my dad, "Well, why don't we sell a bowl of soup? I mean, it's more money that we get." But that didn't work either. I asked my dad one day, "Why did you always say that to me? Why did you always say, why do we have to sell so many cups of soup?" And he told me that if he knew that I really needed it, then he would have already got it for me before I asked. If he knew that I needed it, he would have already got it for me before I asked. I don't remember a time in my life when I actually wanted salvation. I don't think anyone does. As born as sinners, we're blinded. We don't see God. We don't know God. We don't hear God. That's our nature. As sinners, we want nothing to do. We want nothing to do with that which is good. But God knew that we needed salvation. How can we want salvation when we didn't even know that we needed saving? We didn't even know where we were or we needed to be saved from something. We didn't even know all that stuff. But God knew. God knew that we needed salvation. So that's why he sent his son. He also knew that the price of salvation would be too much for us. It'd be way too much. We have nothing. We have nothing to pay for our sins. When we think of the priests in the Old Testament and how they would sacrifice an animal to only cover a year's worth of sin, and they would have to do it yearly, every year. It's like a holiday. They have to do it every year. And it was never good enough. That's why they had to do it every year. What do we have that we could pay for our sins? We really have nothing to offer. So instead, he sent his son. He sent our Lord Jesus Christ for us to pay for our salvation, to pay our debt of sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the only one good enough to pay the price of sin. This morning we sang that hymn. I said, "O Lamb of God, my sacrifice." He's the Lamb of God, that one perfect, spotless sacrifice, no blemishes, just right. And he was the only one that was able to die for us on our behalf. If I wanted salvation and if God was the one who told me, "Do you know how many cups of soup you have to sell for salvation?" I would have to work for eternity, and still I would fall short. There was no way I could pay for salvation. That's why salvation is not of works, is not of money, but it is a gift. It's a free gift of salvation, and it's through the grace of God. That's how God shows that he cares. He shows that he cares through loving us. He shows that he cares through the giving of his only begotten son on our behalf. But he also scares us. He shows us that when the coming of the Lord is near and the apocalypse happens, that everyone that's saved will be gone in a blink of an eye. That those that are saved will just be gone, and those who aren't saved will be left behind. If you look to the person to the right, to the left, if you look at the people who are saved in your life, can you imagine them being gone in a millisecond, actually? Just one blink and they're gone. And that's how he scares us. He scares us to let us know that if you're not saved, the people that have accepted me as their personal savior, they'll be taken up and we will be left if you're not saved. It's kind of funny how every time you hear it, when someone talks about their testimony, you hear about how they heard of the coming of the Lord and how they heard about the taking up of this of the saved people and how they would be placed in the position where they think it happened. And I found myself one time, I just woke up from a nap and everyone was gone, and it happened to be a day where I learned about the apocalypse and I was scared. I checked the garage, I checked outside, backyard, I checked the whole house. I called my parents, no one was picking up. And I literally thought it happened. And I thought I was saved, but why was I still here if it really happened? I was scared. I was scared that my parents, my family, who I knew that were saved, have left me. He also shows us what hell is like. We read of that story, a true story where the rich man and the poor man, and how the rich man was sent to hell, or he went to hell, and the poor man was able to go to heaven. And the rich man asked just a drop of water from his fingertips. God shows us that hell is eternal fire, just a hot place that you'll live for eternity, a lake of fire that you'll live throughout eternity. He shows us that is where you belong for eternity because you have not accepted salvation, because you have not come to accept our Lord as your personal Savior. So God shows us that he cares for us. He shows us that he could scare us. But the decision is yours. That's how God works. You have a free choice to choose between heaven or hell, between accepting God as your Savior and not accepting him. You have to believe within your heart that without our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm headed right to hell, nowhere else. When you die and leave this world, there's nowhere else to go except hell if you don't believe our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because I'm a sinner. But the good news is that he saved you. He did everything before you were even born. Even before you were born, that he did everything for us. And all we have to do is believe and accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Shall we pray?